Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7, and it is so good to be with you on this beautiful Sunday morning. I hope that if you've traveled, that you've got back safely from your travels. And today we're going to be looking at, and I'm going to focus on our purpose. What is our purpose? And I'm not going to tell you what your purpose is, because we all have different purposes, but we'll look at people in the Bible and see how they fulfilled their purpose. We have moved from the Christmas season in the church calendar, and we've been catapulted into the season of Epiphany, whether we're ready or not. The season of Epiphany is, of course, when we look at what the word Epiphany means, it's a moment of sudden or great revelation or realization in the Christian faith. And one of the Epiphanies is the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles as represented by the Magi. And we could have looked at that on Monday if I had been with you on Monday. And it's in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And I'm sure all of us on our faith journey have had those moments of epiphany, perhaps smaller than that, but we've had moments of epiphany where we suddenly have something revealed to us or suddenly understand something at a deeper level. Of course, Saul had that famous epiphany on the road to Damascus. But I'm going to be moving on today, and I particularly, as I said, want us to explore purpose. So I'm going to start by looking at Isaiah chapter 43, 1 to 7. And of course, we know that Isaiah is one of the most well-known prophets in the Bible for his prediction of the coming of the Messiah. So it's a good season to be looking at Isaiah, who would redeem his people from their sins. That's what he would tell people about the Messiah. It is a book of contrasts where Isaiah juxtaposes terrifying warnings of judgment and destruction with the promises of hope and prosperity. And the passage we're looking at today is given the title Israel's Only Savior. So from verse 1, "But now this is what the Lord said, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine." Let's pause there for a moment and remember God has called us all by name, summons us by name. We belong to God, and therefore we do not need to fear. We are already redeemed, and we are walking with God. Verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Again, we get this, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Verse 5, "I will bring your children from the east, gather you from the west. I will say at the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." So yeah, we have God through the prophet Isaiah assuring Israel that God has already acted. He's acted as one of them, the redeemer to them, and will continue to do so. When they walk through huge seas or small rivers, whatever they're going through, God is with them. They do not need to fear. For me, Isaiah 43 compels us to view our experience of God's grace and to look in the past and see how God was gracious to us and to use that as a springboard so that we go to the future without fear, but knowing that God is with us. We are called by God. So in fact, Jesus liberated us from our past, if you look at it like that, and so we can look to the future. And I love that idea of being liberated from the past, because so many of us carry things we don't need to anymore because we are washed clean through the blood of Christ and we are liberated by Christ. We are redeemed by Christ, and therefore we can look forward to today and all the tomorrows moving forward in Jesus as a new creation. I think what I take from this passage is that God is with us. We've been called by name. Nothing is too big for God. We have a purpose. The past is gone. And we have today and all the days that are left to serve God and walk in the grace and favor of God under God's blessing and protection. Just something for us to think about as we listen to Blessed Be the Lord on the Mighty Hot 102.7.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Blessed Be the Lord on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. If you've just joined me, welcome. I'm looking today at purpose, and we've seen that Isaiah's purpose was to proclaim the coming of the Messiah, as well as to warn the people and give them hope. So he had the two missions, telling people that the Messiah was coming, giving them this hope, but also warning them when they were off course. I think we need to look at how God has called us. We saw that in Isaiah. God is with us and we have nothing to fear. And we move now to one of my favorite psalms, which is the Psalm of David. And because we're looking at purpose, I want to first look at who David was. David is a well-known biblical figure. We know that he was Israel's second king, that he built a small empire. We know he conquered Jerusalem, and he made it Israel's political and religious center. He defeated the Philistines so thoroughly that, in fact, they never, ever threatened the Israelite security again. And he also annexed the coastal region. He was definitely one of God's favorite people in spite of what he did wrong. And we know that he also did things wrong. We know he committed adultery. We know he had her husband killed. We know that he did some things wrong. But we also know that God had anointed him. And he was one of the people who walked closely with God. And he always went back to God. So what was his purpose? If that's what he did, what was his purpose? And I think one of the large parts of his purpose, and we sometimes forget this, was to create a lineage from which Jesus was to be born. Even though he was an adulterer and a murderer, God still chose him to fulfill the covenant. And this, I think, provides all of us with great hope that in spite of our humanities and our many flaws, God keeps his trust in us and all of us are called to fulfill our purposes in God. Whatever it is God is calling us to do, we're called to fulfill our purpose in God. So Psalm 29 starts with, "Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and might, ascribe to the Lord glory due his name, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." The word ascribe is a word that means to give or to count. So to ascribe or give to the Lord the glory due his name means to see, understand, acknowledge the glory that God already has. And of course, this for me is part and parcel of worship. That's why we start in the Anglican Church with the Gloria, praising God, lifting God up, saying, "God, we know who you are. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. We know that you are God, and so we glorify your name." Verse 3 goes on to say, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters." I think with the amount of rain that we've been having in Gauteng lately, this is very easy for us to imagine. I've seen a dry riverbed suddenly fill up, and the noise is unbelievable as that water comes racing down. We're told in verse 4, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic." Again, a reference to God's power and the power of God's voice, the power of God's words to us. "The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon." Cedars, of course, are huge trees. They come from trees, and the logs from those trees were very strong wood. We're told that God makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. "The voice of the Lord strikes and flashes with lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory." That's why I said glorify God's name. Ascribe the Lord glory and might. "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." Now I've read that whole passage because I think it again emphasizes the power of God and the power of God's voice and how God gives us strength and blesses us. I shared last Thursday on Hot Hard Road through a cloudburst, and I compared it to the storms that may come in 2025 and how we need to be ready physically, emotionally, and spiritually so that we can weather any of the storms that might come our way. This is the part of spiritual readiness and preparedness I was speaking about, recognizing who God is, who we are in God, hearing God's voice, tuning into God, and then, of course, fulfilling our purpose in the power of God under God's anointing. I'm going to speak a little more about tuning into God in a moment. But first on the Mighty Heart 1027, a new commandment.
Sunrise with Shona.
On Heart 1027.
A new commandment I give unto you on the Mighty Heart 1027. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it's wonderful to be with you. Today I've looked at Isaiah. Isaiah being the prophet who prophesied the coming of the Messiah, who also juxtaposed giving people hope as well as warning them of what would happen. And so he had those two roles. And of course, we've looked at David. David, we know, was a powerful king. And he not only made Jerusalem the political and religious capital, but he also was the line through which Jesus was to be born. So we know that he was a second king. He built a small empire, but his purpose was that he created a lineage, or one of his purposes, that he created a lineage from which Jesus is to be born. So even though he had done a whole lot of things wrong, God still chose him to fulfill the covenant. And I think it provides all of us with hope and a need for us then to seek out what God is asking us to do, because none of us are perfect, and yet God chooses to work in and through us. I'm going to move now to the baptism of Jesus in Luke chapter 3, verse 15. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all and said, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And then verse 21, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized as well. And as he was praying, heaven opened, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my Son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased." So today, in this passage, we're encountering John and Jesus. We've had Isaiah, we've had David, now we've got John and Jesus. What was John's purpose, do you think? We know he was Jesus' cousin. He was called to prepare the way for Jesus, the Messiah. He lived in the wilderness, not in opulence and great wealth. But what I love about John is that he knew his purpose, and he didn't let fame go to his head. All these people coming to him, he didn't think, well, maybe I am the Messiah, or pretend to be the Messiah. He knew he wasn't the Messiah. He said, "I baptize with water. One coming after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit." He also knew that he had to diminish so Jesus could increase. Although in truth, Herod also played a role in that by locking John up and then beheading him. But John knew his calling, and he was quite prepared to step down so Jesus could step up. And when I think of this diminishing and increasing, I think we need to remember that we're always called to be transformed more and more into God's image and likeness. And in order for that to happen, the small I in us, that ego, needs to diminish so the big I, God, can increase. Jesus also knew his role. Many have questioned, why did he need to be baptized? He was God. He was without sin. But this baptism of water and repentance, why did he need it? Surely he didn't have anything to repent of, and he had to be baptized in this dirty, muddy river. I believe that Jesus did it in obedience to God for others to see and follow, even when he begged God. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he begged God to take that cup of the crucifixion from him. God didn't do it. Jesus was still obedient. I think this was another example of Jesus' obedience. And then God gave testimony through him by opening the heavens, having the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus in bodily form so others could see it like a dove, and a voice saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." I'm going to pause there for a moment because I want us to hear those words, because I think God says it to us. "You are my child, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." Sometimes we feel that we can't fulfill our purpose because we're not worthy. But then you need to remember, none of us are worthy except through the blood of Christ. And God loves all of us. But I can just imagine the impact that this had on the other people there. It showed that Jesus' authority came from God. And so they knew, without doubt, as they saw that, they should have known without doubt, this was the Messiah that they needed to follow. I want to end this morning by quickly looking at the words in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Peter and John placed hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So going back to my question, how do we know what our purpose is? I think we can only know our purpose when we are filled with God's Holy Spirit and we hear God's voice. We need to tune in to that powerful voice of God. And I like to think of an old-fashioned radio where you turn the dial until you get to your favorite station. I think that part of our spiritual journey is learning to turn our dial, get ourselves in the right place through the power of the Holy Spirit, teaching us, correcting us so that we can hear God's voice. And that, of course, means that we need to practice spiritual disciplines. We need to put time into it. And then when we hear what God is calling us to do, we know that we don't have to do it in our own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And therefore, it no longer becomes something difficult to do, but we move in the power of God. And when we relax fully into God, then God can truly work miracles through each and every one of us. And so today, as we've listened to these readings, I hope that through the testimony of Isaiah's life, through David, through the testimony of John's life, and obviously through Jesus, we learn that we are all called by God, and we need to just respond to that voice in obedience and allow God to empower us to do what God is calling us to do. I hope you have a wonderful 2025 and a great week. Thank you so much for listening. To wrap up this morning, I love you, Lord, and Lord, I lift your name on high. May God bless you all.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.